Shalom and Chazak Ve'amatz. This is Pastor David Oakes of the Light Church Fellowship in Bartlesville, Oklahoma. I am the founder of Israel Study Tours with David Oakes and David Oakes Ministries. Join me for the next 30 minutes as we discuss once again Israel, the end times, and how to live successful lives in these end times. Praise the Lord. We have been looking the last few weeks into the Word of God concerning Israel and her place in the end time. Now, we went through the patriarchs and we noticed with the prophets of Israel as they prophesied under the anointing of the Lord God Most High that the land of Israel had been given to the Jewish people for an everlasting covenant. That means forever, and it's never for man to divide up the land of Israel. Now, the present peace proposals are proposing to do just that, to divide up the land of Israel. Of course, every peace proposal has been to divide up the land of Israel. You will never get peace, P-E-A-C-E, by piecing up, P-I-E-C-E, the land of Israel. And always remember that. It's never going to change because God has given the entirety of the land of Israel to the people of Israel for an everlasting covenant. It is their inheritance. So we went through the prophecies, and then we got into the New Testament last week, and we're looking at the prophecies of Jesus in chapter 24 of Matthew. And his disciples asked Jesus, tell us the signs of your coming, the signs of the end. And Jesus got down into verse 32 of Matthew 24 and said, now learn a parable of the fig tree. We looked at the Amplified Bible, and it says, from the fig tree learn its lesson. And we went back to a 24 to 48 hour period before that in Matthew, the 21st chapter, and found out that Jesus had been with his disciples and that he had cursed a fig tree. And he had cursed a fig tree because of its unfruitfulness. We found out that it said, he said, let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever in verse 18 of Matthew 21. And then we found out that the word forever is the same Greek word that is found in Ephesians, the second chapter, verse 7, that says in the ages to come. The word ages is the same word in Greek that is translated forever. And we believe that that word ages is a more accurate translation even for Matthew 21:18, since it's the same Greek word. And this is the normal translation of the word. So a more accurate rendering of that scripture in Matthew 21:18 is, let no fruit grow on thee for the age or to the end of this dispensation. And we looked at that. So Jesus said, from the fig tree, learn its lesson. Learn, the lesson would be, because of unfruitfulness, it was cursed. Because of unfruitfulness, it withered. And then the withering was for a time period, for an age, for a dispensation. Now, the problem with all of this is that Israel went into this unfruitful period because of the teaching of the Sadducees and the Pharisees. It is a sad day when leadership takes the people down a road that is not conducive to righteousness. Oh, leadership is vitally important, and don't neglect praying for our leaders in all aspects of our life. In fact, 1 Timothy the second chapter says to pray for all of those in authority. We're to be praying for our president. We're to be praying for our vice president. We're to be praying for the Congress. We're to be praying for our governor. We're to be praying for our pastors, for our civic leaders, for the men and women that have authority in the local church. We're to be praying for these people because the Bible says we pray for them so that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. But a bad leader will lead people down a place of unfruitfulness. Unrighteousness will lead to unfruitfulness. And so the Lord wanted Israel to know a lesson, that you have to learn, that you have to know that unfruitfulness will have a payday sooner or later. So back to verse 32 of chapter 24, he says, now, from the fig tree, learn its lesson. Now, the lesson is, again, unfruitfulness caused it to be cursed. It withered, but the withering was only for a time period. And then something magnificent is getting ready to happen because Jesus said, watching the fig tree, when his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves. So this fig tree that had withered and died, and that's what Jesus found, and that's what Jesus prophesied in 70 AD as Titus and the Romans took the Jewish people into captivity once again, and for 2,000 years, the land of Israel laid really vacant through all of the different conquering powers. The land was ruined. It was, the topsoil was eroded. There wasn't a large contingency of any kinds of people in that land. It was a land to be shunned. In fact, let me read from you what Mark Twain, the great American writer, wrote in his book, The Innocents Abroad, or The New Pilgrim's Progress, in 1867. He wrote this: "We traverse some miles of desolate country whose soil is rich enough but is given wholly to weeds." Now, this is as he traversed from Akko to Jerusalem, he's saying, making these statements. He said, "A silent, mournful expanse, a desolation is here that not even imagination can grace with the pomp of life and action. We reached Tabor safely. We never saw a human being on the whole route. We pressed on toward the goal of our crusade, renowned Jerusalem. The further we went, the hotter the sun got, and the more rocky and bare, repulsive and dreary the landscape became. There was hardly a tree or a shrub anywhere. Even the olive and the cactus, those fast friends of worthless soil, had almost deserted the country. No landscape exists that is more tiresome to the eye than that which bounds the approaches to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is mournful, dreary, and lifeless. I would not desire to live here. It is a hopeless, dreary, heartbroken land. Israel sits in sackcloth and ashes. Over it broods the spell of a curse that has withered its fields and fettered its energies. Israel is desolate and unlovely, and why should it be otherwise? Can the curse of the deity beautify a land? Israel is no more of this workday world." Notice what Mark Twain, not known to be a great theologian, not known to be a great Zionist, said concerning the land of Israel in the 1800s. Oh, my dear friends, a curse had come upon the land, and for nearly 2,000 years she lay desolate. Don't be deceived by the reports from the media, in the Arab media and even the liberal media. Don't let them make you think that this was a land that has been occupied by hundreds and hundreds of thousands and even millions of Arabs over the decades and over the centuries. That was from the mid-80s, from Mark, in 1800s, excuse me, from Mark Twain, and he said that they hardly saw a person. It was cursed. The land was cursed. But something began to happen. God began to move in the hearts of men, and man's hearts began to move once again with God. And the Jewish people began to come back. And remember, we've looked at the scriptures over the past weeks. We have looked at the scriptures that show that the Jewish people would come back into the land of Israel, and there would be a great time of revitalization. And from the 1800s to the 1900s, from that 19th century to the 20th century, the people began to come. They began to come. They began to drain the malarial swampland. They begin to cultivate the rocky soil, and the land begin to be fruitful, and the land begin to grow, and the vineyards begin to grow. And when that happened, then other peoples from other nations, other people other than Jews, begin to come in for the opportunities to work and to enjoy the fruitfulness. But the fruitfulness began when the Jewish people moved back into the land. Now, notice at verse 32, Jesus prophesied. He says, when his branch, when the fig tree, remember we looked last week at Joel 1:7 and Hosea 9:10 and told us the fig tree was Israel. Now look at the fig tree. When the fig tree, the Israel, branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. Oh, when Israel begins to grow again, when people begin to live on the hills again, when the fields begin to grow again, when the formation of a nation begins to happen again. And then in 1948, that great day, that miracle day, when a nation was born in a day, the prophet Isaiah prophesies about it. Shall a nation be born in a day? When Zion travails and the people, the prayers of the people brought forth a nation into this earth known as Israel. And ever since 1948, its Arab neighbors around it have been trying to destroy it. But it doesn't destroy it. It will not destroy it. Mankind will not destroy this land because God has brought them back into the territorial possessions of the tribes of Israel. And they are going to stand and be strong and serve the Lord their God. And Jesus said, when you see Israel begin to put on fruit, when you see this land, this nation begin to grow again, this people come back together in their homeland, I want you to notice that summer's drawing nigh. Now, we looked last week at when the Bible speaks in prophecy about summer, it's talking about judgment period. The judgments are going to happen. We're getting close to a judgment time of the earth. my brothers and sisters, when Israel begins to be a living, breathing, functioning entity once again in the earth, and for 2,000 years they were not, but glory be unto God, at this time, in our lifetime, we can see it with our eyes, just as God has said, Israel is a living, breathing, striving entity in the earth once again. Now, this is the good news. Jesus said in Matthew, the 16th chapter, that we should not be hypocrites. I'm paraphrasing, but that we should be able to read the signs of the time. People say, oh, I can just do what I want to do forever, and there'll not be anything to pay. But let me tell you what, judgment is coming. We'd better be living correctly. We had better make Jesus the Lord of our lives. You know, I love the nation of Israel. I love the Jewish people. But you know something that's even far superior to that in my heart? And that is that I am the blood-bought, born-again believer. I have been born again by believing that God raised Jesus from the dead, and I've confessed with my mouth Jesus is Lord, and I tell you what, I am saved. I have come out of the nations of the earth, and I have entered into the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and this earth is not my home. No, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Glory be unto God. My treasures are laid up in heaven. My future is heavenly. Glory be unto God. But the Jewish people's future is earthly, and people need to understand that. They are going to rule and reign. And as Isaiah says, Kimitzion tetzei Torah udvar Hashem Yerushalayim. Now notice that it says that out from Jerusalem shall flow the word of God, and that's going to happen when Messiah, we believe to be Jesus, glory be unto God, is going to be reigning from Jerusalem. So let's go back to verse 33. You can almost get me preaching on that now. Verse 33 says, so likewise ye, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. So when we see the fig tree that was cursed, and boy, did Mark Twain in Innocence Abroad not nail it? He hit it right on the head, didn't he? I mean, it was cursed. He even said that 150 years ago. It was cursed, but God said it was going to start putting on leaves. It's going to start putting on branches, and that nation was going to grow. Well, let me tell you, that reminds me of Ezekiel 37. You know Ezekiel 37. Well, you might not think, but you used to sing about it, I'm sure, when you were a child. Dim bones, dim dry bones. You remember that song? Well, notice this in Ezekiel 37. It says, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out into the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones. Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. And lo, and when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied. Woo! So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, now I want you to notice what the Holy Ghost said unto Ezekiel the prophet, because he wanted to interpret for him what he had just seen and said. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off from our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Now the graves, according to the Jewish teachers, the rabbis, they say that anytime a Jew is outside of the land of Israel, he is in the grave. But God said he's going to open up the graves and bring you into the land of Israel. It's talking about the revitalization of this nation that had died and was just as good as buried, and they were dried up. But he said at the end of the age, something was going to happen. There was going to be a moving. There was going to be a shaking. The Holy Ghost was going to begin to move into the hearts of the Jewish people and into their soulish realms, their minds, and he was going to begin to bring them back to the land of Israel, and Israel was once again going to be a living, thriving nation. Oh, we're living right in the middle of the Bible prophecy. That every time you read the word Israel, get that, every time you read the word Israel in the newspaper or hear it on television, know that that's only been uttered in this earth again since 1948. Since 1948. And every time you hear it, you ought to know it's a living. It's alive. Israel is alive because God prophesied that Israel would be alive. Now, notice as we go on to Luke 13. Luke 13. Oh, this is a wondrous time to be living in. You know, if you're not serving Jesus, now's a good time, and I'll tell you a good place to serve Jesus. If you're in the Bartlesville area and listening to us, now, a good place to serve Jesus is the Light Church, the Light Church Fellowship. God is light. We are the church, and together God and the church have fellowship. Hallelujah. The Light Church Fellowship. That's a good place to serve Jesus. I tell you what, we teach people how to get blessed in life and how to worship and love Jesus. So come join us at the Light Church Fellowship, 1244 Southeast Washington Boulevard in Bartlesville, Oklahoma. Have you found Luke 13 yet? Here's a parable. It's a story. He spake in verse 6, he spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Now notice this, a certain man had a fig tree. Remember we said that a fig tree, prophetically, many times is referring to the nation of Israel. And it says, he had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon. This is what we've been talking about. Sought fruit thereon, and found none. Now we know that that certain man is Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One. He came to the earth. He said he was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And he came and he looked in the land of Israel. But because the people of Israel had been led astray by leadership, they were in it more for profit than they were for the gain of the people. Something happened. He sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? Now, this sounds exactly like God when it came to Moses with the children of Israel. God said, just get out of the way. I'm just paraphrasing here. I'm just going to wipe them out and start over. And Moses said, no, Lord, you can't do that. He said, no, Lord, no, Lord, you can't do that because you promised them. And God listened to him, and Moses' intercessions made God turn. Abraham said he was going to, he went before God, and because Lot was there. Now get this, my brothers and sisters, we have power with God if you know it and if you believe it. And God said he was going to wipe out Sodom and Gomorrah. But because Lot was there, Abraham said, Lord, will you save it for 50? And God said, well, I'll save it for 50, but there weren't 50. And he went on down, will you save Sodom and Gomorrah for 10 righteous souls? God said, I'll save it for 10, but he couldn't find 10. Now the thing about it, God would have gone all the way down to 1. Because God wants to work with men and women in the earth. God's just not a God that is just this big omnipotent thing that sets up there and just bashes people. God's a loving God. God called us to fellowship with him and work together with him and labor together with him. And we have power with God. And so Moses made intercession for the children of Israel, and Abraham made intercession for Lot and his family. And now here we have this situation in chapter 13 of Luke. He says, he said, just cut it down. He couldn't find what he was looking for. He couldn't find people who would follow him as he wanted to be followed. Now, I have this by the authority of historians in Israel, that it's a proven fact that over 50% of Israel, of Jews, during the time of Jesus, followed him and followed his ministry. But the leadership never got over into that area. You've got to get the heart of the leadership before the people are going to truly follow. You've got to have the heart of the leadership. Now, notice this. And he answering and said unto him, here was the vine dresser, and he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it, and dung it, and if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. Let me tell you something, my brothers and sisters. I believe without a shadow of a doubt that that one who is making intercession for the land, for the people of Israel, is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. God has called upon the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to make intercession for the land of Israel. Did you get that? And he says, Lord, don't destroy them. Don't destroy them. And then we remind God of what God said. We remind God that you said that the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. In other words, God, you called them to do a work in this earth, and you can't do anything with them until they do that work in the earth. And the church is saying now, the church is interceding with the Spirit of grace upon them. Oh, let me tell you what, my brothers and sisters. He came for 3 years in his ministry and didn't find anything that was pleasing to his eyes or to his ears or to his spirit. But the church of the Lord Jesus Christ began to pray. I believe it. I saw my grandmother, who was born around the turn of the century, and she was a great woman of prayer, and she prayed and she prayed because she saw in the scriptures that God wanted to restore the land of Israel to the people of Israel, and she prayed and she prayed. She would lay in the floor for hours, and she would cry before God so that his prophecies would come to pass. We've got to work together with God, and man has power with God when he prays believing prayers. And I saw my mama, and my mama would just lay in the floor, and she'd pray and weep and cry concerning the Israeli people. And my mother, who was a wonderful saint of God, she didn't even have a college degree, but yet God put her in front of leaders of Israel and nations. She was at welcome in their offices. My mother was welcome in the office of Prime Minister Ariel Sharon. She was acquainted with him. And I tell you what, it's because she just prayed under the direction of God, and she loved the people of Israel. And that's what we find there in Luke 13. Now back in Matthew, the 24th chapter, it says once again in verse 32, from the fig tree, learn its lesson. Oh, blessed be the name of God. Blessed be the name of God. I think we're getting close to time to close up our time together. Let me read out of 2 Samuel quickly before I go off the air. 2 Samuel verse 22, David is speaking, and the psalmist said, wherefore thou art great, O Lord God, for there is none like thee, neither is there any God beside thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And what one nation in the earth is like thy people, even like Israel, whom God went to redeem for a people to himself, and to make him a name, and to do for you great things and terrible for thy land, before thy people, which thou rememberest to thee from Egypt, from the nations and their gods. For thou hast confirmed to thyself thy people Israel to be a people unto thee forever, and thou, Lord, art become their God. Well, that's all we have time for today. I want you to know God loves the people of Israel, just as this pastor from the Light Church Fellowship loves the people of Israel.